3-2. Swinging, Langford drives one to left. Home run streak is over. That ball is out of here. 100 straight plate appearances without a homer. He finally leaves the yard. First one since July 11th. And it brings the Rangers to within a run at 6-5.
And that turned everything around. Not going to go as far as saying the season, but it did feel like the Rangers were drowning last night. And you're saying, okay, this could be the beginning of the end. You're down 6-1. Eovaldi finally has a rough outing. And then Wyatt Langford with the big-time bomb. Rowdy with Brisket Sandoz, and then you have Jake Berger pinch hitting for Jock Peterson and the Rangers with an epic comeback win on this radio station with Jeff Banister, former Rangers manager, coming up at 8.
Yeah. What 58 a great job, minutes from now. He was all gung-ho about coming on yesterday. You blow a 5-run lead. 6-run lead, right? 6-0 lead.
I think it was 5-0, then 6-1.
6-1, yeah. That, you're right. That's a brutal loss for them. This is a candidate in the hopper for win of the year, especially if you wind up making the postseason in part because of this, because everybody ahead of you, except for Boston, I guess, even the guys in the wild card won. Everybody ahead of you won.
Yeah, I mean, this was, that's still, regardless, given the context right now that we have, that is the win of the year right now, because it's just, it's the most unlikely one. There's no chance when you sit there and look at 6-1, with this Rangers offense, you don't sit there and think they're coming back from that. You think, all right, this is it. It's done. They've lost. And so when it's Wyatt hits that home run and Sandler's screaming his head off and giving us the holy smokes, it was like, this is great. And they'll lose by one. It was the same feeling I felt the other night when they got down 3-1 against Philly. And then they homered in the 8th or whatever it was. It's like, okay, that was their one. And now they won't score in the 9th because nobody was on base for that. It had that same sort of feeling. And credit to them. I mean, they kept coming up with big hits late in the game.
What does last night, by the way, I wonder if Banny could be sitting in the on-deck circle for that job there in Arizona, because Bet Online sent me the odds of the next manager to be fired. Brian Snitker is the favorite in Atlanta, and then Torrey Lovello, just in the World Series a few years ago, is next, followed by Bet Online. The headlines of all their emails to me was Brett Boone. And I was like, Brett, what's going on? Brett Boone's getting a managerial job? They just messed up. They meant Aaron, because Aaron is sitting there at third, followed by Rocco Baldelli and then Mark Kotze with the Athletics.
Yeah, Torrey's interesting because, you know, people seem to, they really like him around this world. I don't know what the ownership has done or changed with the front office there in Arizona, but I mean, they sold big time at the deadline. Like, if you're going to sell like that, I mean, you're not really giving a manager a chance to win.
Yeah, they had some weird stuff, too, when they went and got Jordan Montgomery and then publicly were saying, yeah, we shouldn't have ever paid that guy while he's still on their team.
What does last night do for Nate and the Cy Young? Or were you not thinking about him realistically winning it anyway? Skubal had a rough start last time out. I think he broke his, like, at least 5 or 6 innings a start streak. This is loaded with National League candidates, though, at least in terms of the ERA race. Skeens has a 1.94.
By the way, this is the most amazing stat I've ever seen.
Bold statement.
Paul Skeens gave up 7 hits in a game for the first time in 47 starts.
That many hits?
Yeah. That is insane.
He's good.
Not 7 runs, 7 hits for the first time, like 47 starts.
Skeens got a 1.94. Skubal's got a 2.35. Then we go Sanchez in Philadelphia, Abbott in Cincinnati, Boyd in Chicago for the Cubs, Crochet in Boston before you get to another American League pitcher, Hunter Brown, Wheeler, Joe Ryan in Minnesota, Yamamoto, Robbie Ray, Jacob DeGrom with a 2.86. What did this do to Nate's ERA?
Well, he may not qualify because of missed time. So that's, I got a ticket on Eovaldi, 30-1. I bet it 2 weeks ago at 30-1, 35-1, something like that.
He went from 1.38 to 1.71 with this yesterday.
Yeah, he just doesn't qualify.
Did he miss that much time? didn't feel like he's missed that much time to not qualify.
With a hitter, you got to average 3.1 plate appearances per team game. So if you played 100 games, you've got to have 310 plate appearances. I don't know what the pitcher number is. He'll get there by the end of the year. Now, it's just a matter of, did he miss too much time for Cy Young voters?
It's a pitcher must record at least one inning pitched per scheduled league game to qualify for individual category leadership and earned run average. So that means that he has to, by the end of the year, he would have to have 162 innings minimum. He's at 116 right now. And Texas has played, what are they? They're up to 120. So, I mean, by his next start or two, he should be qualified.
877-881-1053. Franklin, injury attorney, text line. Another major quarterback list is out. We will fight and argue during the 720 commercial-free expressway. We got a Rangers-Angels ticket giveaway, then Ask Reddit, then Jeff Banister at 8 o'clock. Always a fantastic interview. Let's tap a keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
The AP Top 25 is out. Texas is number one, yet they are an underdog in week one.
Yeah, that makes history.
Yeah, are you surprised, though?
Am I surprised that they're an underdog?
Yeah.
No. I guess not. I mean, it's Ohio State.
At
Ohio State. Has Arch started a road game?
I don't think that's the issue. I wouldn't think.
This would make Texas the first top-ranked team to be an underdog in week one, according to ESPN data going back to 1978. The previous tightest week one point spread for a number one was when Florida State lost outright as a 4-point favorite at number eight Miami back in 1988. Auburn also lost as a 5-point favorite against number 10 Miami in 84. Notre Dame, Michigan, 1990. This is the most bet college football game in early betting from ESPN Bet. The Longhorns have attracted 54% of the handle on the spread, 73% on the money line.
Wow. Okay, so now a little bit of value there. Obviously, if you're going to take Texas on the money line, because they're a dog, they're going to be plus money. I was stunned to find out that Texas has never been preseason number one.
Never?
Ever in their history of their program.
Wow.
It's their first preseason number one ranking ever. Couple of other notes at the top 25. Penn State's number two. That's their highest preseason ranking since 97. Their highest ranking in any week since 2017. Bama is eighth. That's still too high.
Yep.
And that's their lowest preseason ranking since 08. Arizona State, 11. That's too high. They don't have Cam. That's their highest preseason ranking since 98. Illinois is 12. That's their highest preseason ranking since 1990. SMU, baby, they are 16th. That is their highest preseason ranking since they were third in 1985. They had a bad year. They finished like 6-5 that year. Texas Tech, they are 23rd. I think it's a touch too low. That's their highest preseason ranking since 2008.
And then A&M is 19. So
A&M is 19. Oklahoma's 18. And Oklahoma did not make the coaches poll. So a little discrepancy there. They didn't even make the they were the first also receiving votes in the coaches. So they would have been 26th. And they're up here at 18 in the AP.
That little human Q-tip. Paul Feinbaum. I know he's punching air this morning that six out of the top seven teams aren't even natural SEC. They got two in the top
natural
seven.
Natural SEC.
Texas is not natural SEC. We are bigger than the SEC. We are there to make change. That's what we do. But you're talking about Georgia basically being the only like team that people consider like long-standing blue blood type of SEC. Like that's... It's just Georgia in the top seven.
Yeah, absolutely. And then three of the top nine are natural because Bama and LSU are 8-9. Mm-hmm. I think Bama should probably be around 12, 13. We'll see.
Two of the top three are Big Ten. Sorry, Feinbaum.
all right, it is the college football kegger here on 105 through the Fan. Do you want Baylor versus Boston University or do you want the college power four quarterback who can't stay off their cell phone?
Well, let's go Baylor than cell phone.
All right.
Is the quarterback local?
We don't know.
He's asking you.
I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. That's the question.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm a little intrigued.
Let's go Baylor and Sal. Smoke hit me up the other day, so this would be in honor of Dave.
All right, there we go. Baylor University is suing Boston University for the right to be you. This is Texas-Tennessee all over again, 1997. Yes. Go to Supreme Court, UT versus UT. You know, who gets the rights to UT? And it was the dumbest decision ever. They said nobody.
That's actually a great decision, but I get what you mean.
It was like they said east of the Mississippi, Tennessee gets the rights, and then west Texas gets the rights. But they made everybody, nobody can use the logo anymore in officially licensed apparel.
It's like your two kids are fighting, and you're like, neither of you are playing with it.
Yeah, neither of you. Neither of you.
Neither.
You couldn't just
whatever.
Let it be where it was east and west. Well, they're doing the same thing here, and I don't know how this is going to work because Baylor University was named Baylor University first. But Boston University used BU on official game apparel first. So now they are going to have to go to the Supreme Court. They're going to get sued. And, you know, like the Supreme Court's got a lot on their plate right now, apparently. I've been told. I don't know. Allegedly. And now we'll see what they wind up doing. This is so stupid. And they're going to do some ridiculous non-decision and just say, you know what? Neither of you get to use BU.
I can't help but picture, like, it's decision day at the court. And so at the Supreme Court, they'll just have a number, however many decisions they've reached that day. They'll have, like, three boxes out for three decisions. And it's like, I just imagine them, like, bringing a box up for something, like, super serious. And they're like, before we get to that, let's talk about who gets to claim them BU and get to put that on golf polos.
This will enrage everyone over the age of about 25 to 30. There is a Power 4 quarterback in the midst of a quarterback competition. And we like Josh Pate, right?
Yeah.
We like Josh Pate, do we not?
Yeah.
Peyton, we like Josh Pate?
Yep.
Yeah, we do. All right. This is him saying...
He doesn't know who Josh Pate is.
Do you know who Josh Pate is?
I just barely found out who he was. Big-time college football following.
Big-time.
Huge.
Big-time following. Talking about a Power 4 quarterback who's got a problem.
I don't have this audio.
All right, cool.
I don't think you sent it.
I think I did. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Never mind. Anyway, guy can't stay off his phone.
Who?
They don't know. That's the point. They don't know. He won't say who it is.
Here's the quote. Josh Pate said, "We are aware of one Power 4 quarterback race right now where there is legit competition, and one of the staff's biggest complaints about one of those quarterbacks who legitimately could win a starting Power 4 job is, quote, we can't keep him off his phone. And they're not talking about in the dorm, and they're not talking about in the dorm at night. That's fine. Do that. Stay out of trouble. They're talking about in the building, in meetings, in installs and whatnot, like legit addiction."
You didn't send it.
That's right. It's too long.
It's all right.
It's all right. You say so.
Yeah. Look, there's talk about it's Ohio State, about Notre Dame, Alabama, Tennessee, Colorado.
What are we just, we're just guessing? We're just naming they're schools?
Well, they're basically going with the, they're kind of
tripping based down. Based on how
are they guessing those?
Yeah.
Those are actual competitions. Those are schools that have active quarterback competitions.
Okay.
Right.
You named a lot of schools.
Yeah. There's several. This is enraging.
Like, can't keep him off the phone in the meeting room?
He's in the meeting room. He's just on his phone.
Why not just
take the phones?
I mean, I guess they could.
That's probably illegal.
They make it sound like it's like, but like they said there, they said legit addiction. So they make it sound like it's not just, oh, he's on it. It's like he's compulsively on it.
Some have thrown UNC out there. I don't think it's UNC. I think Bill would say something.
Or Jordan.
Lombardi would talk about it on his podcast. Or whatever.
He's
not saying it in a book tour.
Not with us.
I can see this happening, though.
College football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. So how did things end up going with the Julian punishment? Take the phone, not have the phone, clean the baseboards. Did he give him a 1 out of 10 after running up $500 on your credit card?
$600. I would give him a 4.
Oh.
A 4 out of 10. He did really good job of the outside of the windows. He cleaned the outside of the windows.
All right.
The inside, Sarah is enraged. Because there are streaks everywhere.
Yeah.
He did not do a good job on the streaks.
What about
the
toothbrush on the toilet?
We didn't have him do that.
Baseboard cleaning?
Baseboards. He did the bathroom. It's great.
Okay.
Great.
Bathroom's a small room in the house.
Small room. He mopped the floor.
Okay.
We needed that.
No other base.
No, we didn't have him do the other base sports. We did the mopping to the floor.
He softened up. He paroled him.
No, we did the mopping. He did the windows inside and outside. We added the windows.
Okay.
We added the windows on the outside to replace the baseboards. And then we did one other thing, too. Mopping the floor, obviously, though. That was great. That needed it.
Let's hook you up with a Rangers Angels ticket giveaway. And the second biggest quarterback list is out for the entire offseason. Where did Dak end up? Zach Wilchuk may be monitoring. Commercial free with the Expressway after this. We are going to hook you up with Rangers Angels tickets today and every other weekday morning here on Sean and RJ with our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We are commercial free in the Expressway for the next 40 minutes. We will ask Reddit at 740 and then Diamondbacks bench coach, former Rangers skipper, Jeff Bannister at 8 o'clock after the blown lead last night. My favorite two quarterback lists of the offseason are Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, because he talks to executives, and The Athletic with Mike Sando, who talks with 50 different executives himself. And we have the quarterback tiers. Tier one, a tier one quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations. He has no real holes in his game. Tier one quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen.
Yep.
For the first time ever, Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
And then
it's funny. Madden had Lamar and Allen as 99s and Mahomes as like a 95. The two guys that can't beat Mahomes get a higher grade. They can never beat him in a game that matters.
That's the end of the tier, right? Because we all agree it's just those four.
Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen all retained their tier one status from last year. Again, Lamar jumped. And then the final quarterback in tier one that had my cell phone blinging yesterday from Zach Wilchuk. Kyle Yeomans, right in the kisser of Bobby Belt with Matthew Stafford. Wow.
This is, he's modern day John Elway. That's Matthew Stafford.
This hurt me last night when you wrote this.
You mean not as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Basically, yeah. No, where Stafford.
Probably your worst take of all time.
Hey, adjusted net yards per attempt says it's better. Says he's better.
Yeah.
Stafford is, they take all the traits and they go like, well, that equals his production. Like, they pick and choose where they want to go, where it's, this is traits, but he hasn't put it together. It's production. Like, and then there are some guys that randomly, they just say, Elway, Stafford's like, oh my gosh, you're such a natural. We're just going to give you a pass for all the awful effing football you've played your entire career. And we're going to blame it on everyone else around you except for you. And then at the very end, when you're not really that good anymore, you're not really that impactful anymore, we're going to go, well, he's a smarter player now. He's older and he's smarter and now he wins his title. Like, this is the whole these are the same two players and they both irritate me similarly. There's no way that after last year, you look at Stafford and go, holy cow, he's got to go up a tier. I don't understand this.
Look, so insulting towards Elway, you're a freaking idiot for that. I won't argue a ton with the rest, but that is so dumb.
The one thing that my biggest problem with Stafford is every other tier one Hall of Fame all-time great quarterback is franchise independent. Doesn't matter what franchise you go to, how bad of a franchise it is, how poorly run, you immediately make them successful. Doesn't matter who it is. The Bills couldn't get out of their own way until they found Josh Allen. The Commanders couldn't get out of their own way until they found Jaden Daniels. Go back as far as you want. The Saints with Drew Brees. The Colts with Manning. None of them could get out of their own way. They get there and immediately everything is fine.
Okay.
All right.
Rams won a Super Bowl.
The Rams were good already. The Lions were still the Lions with Stafford. That's my one holdup on him. That's it. Other than that, because you're enamored with the traits.
Yeah.
The measurable. He's got everything you would possibly want. I don't know. To me, the most important trait a quarterback has is are you on time? That's the number one. I don't know that he always was.
Let me read you the write-up. Every time I watch him, I go, whoa. Here's what I don't get about Stafford being number five right now. He's making his tier one debut after 11 straight seasons in tier two. And you're doing it. I was like, let me go look up his stats. Maybe I'm missing something. You bump him up into tier one after 20 touchdowns and 8 picks in 16 games. That right there is what I don't understand. 20 and 8. The QBR was a 64.7, and then you boost him up. Why? Some of the voters. His ability to work through a back injury that sidelined him in camp is going to be key. I always had a high admiration for him as a competitor, arm talent, playmaker, but always thought he was a gunslinger. He still has it in him, but his mind, his ability to process, think, and communicate stand out. A defensive coordinator said, I guarantee all your one votes for Stafford came from offensive coaches. Offensive coaches kiss this guy's ass all the time.
There we go.
Especially guys from that system. He's really good, though. I take him over Herbert because he's a better passer with better timing. But it wasn't just offensive coaches pushing Stafford into tier one. 3 GMs, 1 assistant GM, 3 former GMs, 4 other personnel execs, and 7 defensive coordinators accounted for the bulk of his votes. You know who else has told us, I believe, that he's not a tier one guy? His head coach, because there's been this weird Matthew Stafford thing in the past 2 off seasons about moving him or trading him or getting rid of him. And you don't do that. I mean, unless you want to give me the age excuse, which you can, or injury, you don't do that if he is this great and a future Hall of Famer.
I get it. It's the first time in his career last year where he played at least 10 games and he didn't have at least 10 interceptions. So you have to put him up there. I understand. Like, what Matthew Stafford isn't even the greatest quarterback of all time in any single team he's played for. None of them. You can go all the way back to high school. He's not the greatest Highland Park quarterback of all time. He's not the greatest Georgia quarterback of all time. He's not the greatest Lions or Rams quarterback of all
time.
Who's
the greatest Highland Park?
Bobby Lane. Bobby Lane's one of the greatest high school football players. That's him. That's number one. Georgia, it's Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett's the greatest Georgia quarterback of all time. 100%. 100%.
Whoa!
Tell me about your issues with Tebow. You talk about Tebow the same sort of way. Stetson Bennett is that kind of player at a college level. If we're talking about for the team, for the Georgia team, not who's the most talented or what they ended up being, for Georgia, he was the best.
The Rams are my secret rooting interest just for Bobby to be wrong on Stafford.
Are you saying he's the best because he won a title?
Who, Stetson?
Yeah.
Stetson played better at Georgia than Matthew Stafford did. 100%.
I'd have to go back and look. I have to go back and look.
I know. I'm telling you, I've looked. He's better.
Tier two.
Based on what, though?
And I remember watching them both play.
Tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possess other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. Is this the category that Dak Prescott fits? Number 6, starting off tier two, Jaden Daniels, making RJ Choppy as happy as Bobby Belt over Stafford.
Yeah, this is just dumb, okay? You cannot put somebody after 1 year number 6. Now, there is one exception to that, and that is Patrick Mahomes, who after his 2018 year, that is the one exception. Everybody else, you cannot do that. We've all seen a year two drop. You know, it happened with CJ. We all did this with CJ Stroud last year. Everybody did it. And he had a year two drop. You got to just give him a second here. When you have people on this list that have 6, 8, 10 years of consistent play, you just can't drop them below somebody who did it for 16 weeks. And especially you can't when 5 of those games were toss-ups. They probably were not even truly like a playoff team. They were like the Rangers that 1 year, 2015 or whatever, 16, where they had like 95 wins and won 30 one-run games.
Yeah.
Just tap the brakes here, kids.
Can ask Banny about it at 8.
Yeah.
Keep that same energy for Justin Herbert at 7. What?
He's Matt Stafford. He's Bobby. He's the other Stafford. He is somebody who has done nothing. He's the Kevontae Turpin of quarterbacks, okay? He's done absolutely nothing yet. Everybody wants to put him ahead of Tolbert.
I like your Stafford comparison more. He's out for Kevontae Turpin. Herbert at 7, that's ridiculous to me.
Herbert's a better player now than Stafford's ever been.
Oh Lord, here we go.
He's
stuck on Turpin, and you're stuck on Stafford.
I think generally there's too much hate on Herbert. I think Herbert's a really good player.
Well, Justin Herbert shouldn't be above Jared Goff. So I'll just keep it current since you guys want to keep up your tiffs with each other. Jared Goff is 8.
Goff's problem is that he doesn't have a rocket arm. He's got small hands.
I don't care.
He is so on time, and that is so important. And he does all the things well that aren't sexy.
And Goff should Goff be above Jaden?
I mean, I don't know. They do put him on those tiers, and I know generally it's just based on how frequently you're there, what you average out to. So Jaden ends up being on there higher. But, I mean, they are ultimately put on the same tier overall by the league.
This is the QB tiers from 50 executives voting with The Athletic. Number 9.
But I agree, by the way, Goff. He should be generally considered higher than most of the other quarterbacks on here. And he's the best Lions quarterback of all time.
Tied for 9th, C.J. Stroud and Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't have a. I would look honestly. I would put Hurts. I think you need to have Hurts over Daniels. I would honestly put Hurts over Herbert too. I mean, he's actually done something. He's done more. He's got problems. Like, there's no doubt. Like, they both have issues. If I have one drive, I'm going to bring Hurts out there.
Is this way too many? I felt like they were being too kind with the amount in the tiers.
It feels crowded.
It's generous.
It feels like there should be more separation from that group than there is.
Because we still have 1, 2, 3. We got 4 more quarterbacks in tier 2. That's going to be 14 quarterbacks overall in tier 1 or tier 2.
That seems high.
14. That's too much.
Man, the Eagles told you last year they didn't want Hurts being the guy they relied on to win games. That's what I can't get over. They routinely took the game out of his hands. And I mean, he ended up, there was that stretch last year where I think, what was it, week 4 to week, I'm looking at it now, like week 13. That's 10 games. He was averaging like 140 passing yards a game. That's, I don't know.
Baker comes in at number 11.
I'm happy that Baker's starting to get some respect. He's a dude.
Yeah.
He's a dude.
Number 12, Prescott. He was in tier 2 last year. He dropped here this year, but still tier 2, number 12. Let me get to the opinions. Quote, it catches up to him when it really matters the most. Prescott slipped lower in tiers than at any point since 2019 after missing 9 games. A D coordinator, quote, I'm not necessarily worried about anything when I play him, but he's just solid. He'll put the ball where it needs to be. He can scramble a little bit. If he has to carry it and throw it 50 times, you'll get him a few times. I think he's still good. I started to 2/3 him, but I think he is a 2. I pretty much agree with every word in that write-up right there. Entering his 10th year, Dak has many seasons leading the league in average annual salary as he has playoff wins. Does any long-established quarterback need a deep postseason run more than Dak? Quote from a defensive coach, he has proven when it comes to the big games he can't win. I've had him as a 2 before, but over the years, it's the same thing over and over again. With 6 starts this year, Dak will pass Romo for the most by a Dallas quarterback during the drought. And then finally, from an offensive coach, that place is so funny. It just teeters with disaster. They put the expectations so high, they can never reach them. Dak has been fantastic for what he is. He plays past his draft status all the time. He plays past his physical abilities most of the time. And then it catches up to him when it really matters the most. I think all that's pretty fair.
Probably, yeah, I mean, the last blurb there is probably the most accurate representation.
One person gave him a tier 1 vote. 30 gave him tier 2. 19 gave him tier 3.
Told y'all I saw Sando.
I don't know how you get him outside of... I don't know how you put him on any tier but tier 2. I don't see how you get him in tier 1.
Well, it depends how picky you want to be with your tiers. You especially would have him probably in tier 3 because you have Mahomes tier 1 by himself.
Okay, you're right. Okay, I'm just saying like the way they were structuring this. I don't see how you get them.
I mean, this structure is, you know, everybody and their mom.
It's the participation tiers. I don't know how you get them in tier 1, and I don't see how you can put them in tier 3 the way they're structuring this.
The rest of tier 2, Dak is 1 spot ahead of Jordan Love, and then Bobby's boy, Brock Purdy, at number 14.
Purdy's routinely disrespected by the league. I don't understand it. Purdy to me is easy.
How much did he get per year?
What
did that contract end up at?
It was below Dak. I know that. It was it ended
Bravo, up five Shane. For 265.
Yeah,
53 a year.
He's an easy top 10 quarterback to me.
I agree. But then again, like, who are you taking out? Stroud, Hurts,
Herbert. Would you have Purdy over Herbert?
Daniels.
What did we see? Now I'm gonna have to find that. We did this list one time, and I saved it.
I would have Purdy over Stroud. I would have Purdy over
Jaden.
Yes, too soon. I think Jade eventually. I would probably have him over Herbert.
RJ's top 10 as of a couple months ago was Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Goff, Love, Purdy 7th, Herbert, Hurts, Dak 10. And I had Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar, Herbert, Love, Dak, Purdy, Daniels, Goff.
Tier 3 from The Athletic. A Tier 3 quarterback is a legit starter but needs a heavier run game or defensive component to win. A lower volume drop back passing offense suits him best. I'll just go in order, number 15 on. Then a Rangers Angels ticket giveaway, Ask Reddit, and Jeff Bannister at 8. Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers is 16.
Wow.
He's the 16th best quarterback. Tua, Trevor Lawrence at 18, Geno at 19, Bo Nix tied at 20 with Sam Darnold, Drake May 22, Caleb 23, Bryce 24, Kirk Cousins 25. Tier 4, Russ 26, then Fields, Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Daniel Jones, Flacco, Anthony Richardson, number 33, Spencer Rattler. And then, man, how you going to do Kenny Pickett?
I know, this is so mean.
This is mean.
Poor Kenny.
Tier 5, all by himself, is Kenny Pickett at 34?
You put Flacco on there already. Like, just take, don't even, like, include Pickett at that point. That's just mean. I will say, the Tier 3 description you read, by the way, that to me reads exactly like Jalen Hurts, if you look at Jalen Hurts' career, which is a legitimate starter who needs a heavier running game and a defensive component to win and a low-volume drop-back passer. That's Hurts.
All right, y'all. Where did Dak belong? Did they get it right? 877-881-1053. Your quarterback debates on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. That's also the number to call to win these.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call on number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Rangers take on the Angels at Globe Life Field in Arlington on Tuesday, August 26th. And Tolos, you'll want to get there early because the first 15,000 fans in the gate will also receive a Texas Rangers hockey jersey. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Former Rangers manager, he was on the bench for last night's collapse by Arizona. Jeff Bannister at 8 on your home for Rangers baseball. You have something to share?
The fan text just made a good point, was all they said. I think Choppy just replied to it. They said, Choppy's so upset about Herbert 7, but had him 8 on his spring
list. Well, that's too high. That's too high. He's overrated. You can't be ahead of. He couldn't have been ahead of Hurts or Goff.
We're commercial free. It's the Expressway. Let's go ahead and ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text. We're going to do Ask Reddit here. You can also weigh in on the Twitch and on the YouTube. For those of you that are new to this, we take the most viral questions being asked over on the Ask Reddit forum, which is filled with 50 million people asking all sorts of salacious
questions. And you're not happy with
Reddit? No, lately it's just... I have to sift a little bit because the most viral questions are all like, what do you think about this political policy? It's like, can we get back to like, you know, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done with a girl or something? Like, give me some
of
that. So I have to
get some KNC topics in here.
That's what I'm saying. All right. We'll start off with you, RJ Choppy.
All right, Bobby Bell.
Let's go with, what's the most harmless thing you could say to someone that would still completely ruin their day?
Okay, so I think in general, you could say, like, are you feeling okay? Like, indicate that they look like crap. To a woman,
I did that to Rima yesterday. I was dead on. I'm always dead on when I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's a little insulting, though, because it shows that something's wrong with me. To a woman, it's simple. It's, are you pregnant? Harmless. To a man.
That's not harmless.
To a man, it's, hey, saw your wife the other day. So you guys are expecting? It's the pregnant. It's harmless. It's like, oh, it's the... But if you're wrong, boy, have you seen somebody ask that and the reaction?
No.
I was in a bank one time in Knoxville, and the lady goes, "So what do you do?" She goes, "Oh, I'm not." And
oh, God. Why would anybody ever say that? I don't understand. Yeah. Even if it looks like they are, why would that be your toe? What do you yeah. do? Why would you say
what
it
do
like
you
that?
Care? I don't care when you're unless I really know you. I don't care when you're
even if I know you, I don't care.
Yeah, shots fired, Maya Wolchuk.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, you're the one who like even said when yesterday we're like, how old was the person at the funeral you're at? You're like, I don't know. I have no idea how old she was. All right, the most harmless thing you can say to someone that'll still completely ruin their day, because I've done it, is similar to what Chop is talking about. I've seen so many people get pissed. It happened to me twice where I was like, I'm going to stop doing this. Where I said to somebody, you look tired. When I said you look tired to a girl on two different occasions, they were furious. Yeah. And one of them let me know instantly they were furious. The other just stewed on it and walked away. And I found out later, they told me, well, that's just basically you're saying you look really ugly today.
Yeah.
It's like, you look tired. You all right? Like, that's how I thought I was saying it. But it came across like I was being a total jerk.
Yeah, it comes across as, I think, caring, but I can see how they're like, oh, you're calling me beat down.
I know what it would be for Sean.
You weird. Trayvon Diggs told me you weird for that.
You weird.
He called me weird over my Micah Parsons report a couple years ago, and that I still haven't gotten over it. Mess with my head big time. You weird.
I think it's that's not the one I was going to guess for you. For you, I was going to say it's usually a combination of numbers that somebody might say to you on a Friday.
Oh, right. Well, that's not harmless. That's my fate.
No, right. But it
always amazes me. Like, for 15 years, I asked the bosses every Friday at noon for the ratings. And Tim is much better than Gavin. But it just amazes me that, like, number one, they just like, maybe they're not sitting by their computer at noon, but sometimes I feel like they're surprised over us wanting to know. And it's like, whoa, hang on. Why are you so worked up over it? Why? It's how we're judged. It's my report card every single week for salary, for bonuses, for show evaluation. It just surprises me sometimes that it's like a surprise or a just any type of answer except for, here you go at 12:01.
Exactly. Peyton, what is the most harmless thing you can say to ruin someone's day?
It's got to be anything about the hair. People are so just worried about how their hair looks. And a lot of times it's because they just got a haircut and you're like, oh, did you really get it cut like that? Like, that could just get someone thinking, I feel like, for the entire day. It could ruin their day.
949, telling a woman to relax. Definitely a trigger word for them. That's the one Kristen can't stand. Let's see here. When your girl says, I'm too tired. So either way, tired is one that they want to claim. And then, are you okay, says 214. All right,
you think you're being nice. You think you're being helpful.
I know. You're trying to. All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, how did you get your most recent scar?
So it was my knee. I was back in my college days. I'd play pickup basketball at the rec. Me and my roommate, Justin, we played probably about 7 or 8 games, you know, after we did an hour-long workout. And I went to
All right,
not including warm-ups, RJ. And so I was going to save a ball out of bounds. You know, it's a tight game. You know, we're playing to 11, win by 2, whatever. And someone had spilt their protein shake on the ground, and they didn't clean it up yet. They were going to clean it up. I slipped on it, fell into a metal railing that was like, you know, divided the gym from the, you know, the courts, and cut my knee open. Got about 7 or 8 stitches.
Bee sting, Saturday.
Oh.
I don't really have...
Is that a scar? Like, that was a scar?
I don't have anything else. I've never been in the hospital for a broken bone. Well, I've never had a surgery. Well, I had a vasectomy, if you want to.
There you go. You got a ball scar.
There you go. Ball scar.
Ball scar.
I can't see. I haven't checked the mirror down there, but I'll go with the ball scar.
Okay. Surgery. It's this one. I had this last year, which you really can't even tell. They did a really good job covering it up. So I will say the only one that's visible is when I broke my finger playing basketball, July 3rd, 2013.
Why do you remember the date?
Well, because it was July 3rd. And it was the day where I was like, all right, I'm done. My marriage.
Oh.
I swiped at the ball. The finger dislocates, pops through the bottom. I pop it back into place. And I'm like, all right, I got to go to the hospital. And she's like, no, fireworks are happening. We'll go after the fireworks. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm bleeding.
That was the final straw.
Well, that was the start. That was the downfall.
325, sliced open my leg at work. 16 stitches later, 940, nearly chopped my thumb off with a chainsaw. That's terrifying.
Oh, I got one. I stepped on a nail.
Hey, there you go.
There it is.
When?
Holly's birthday party. few years ago, the morning of, we were trying to put up the must-have Hispanic tent at every event. Mm-hmm. Gotta have a tent. And sitting there putting this thing into the ground, and I was walking barefoot in the backyard, stepped on it, crutches for the party with one of these Dakana boxes that ripped me off and charged me.
That's my last one right there. This little squiggly line here on my hand. And it was I was cleaning out a cup, and I washed it with a washcloth. We were having to do our dishwasher was broken as a kid. I was like 16. I was hand washing a mug.
That's how long ago Bobby's cleaned a dish.
I know. I'm scarred by it. I have PTSD.
16.
So, no, I was 16. Oh, not 16. 2016. This was even further back than that. I was washing it. It had a crack in it that I didn't see. So I had, when swiping back, broken it out. Didn't notice it had broken out and swiped right back the other way and just ran my hand right across the sharp edge of the mug. And it started bleeding everywhere. Ooh.
I also had a scar that had, it was a Dawson pussy thing. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? I'm Googling. And I tell Amanda, like, I don't know what this is. And she goes, I think you were buzzed while cooking the fajitas and you burned yourself.
Ooh,
and that's what it was.
Mm.
I'll burn myself over the Blackstone or dealing with the Big Green Egg.
Yeah.
So then I have a scar with some of that nasty pus coming out.
All right, we're doing Ask Greta here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say, avocado, guacamole for the tacos.
Yuck. Sean Sharif, we'll give you a food one. You're the foodie. What instantly ruins a hamburger?
Well, I guess under or overcooking it.
Yes.
You know, people, I guess, now have put like peanut butter on there. I'm not going to eat it.
Oh, that's like a Missouri thing, I think.
I also think the fried egg craze is overrated. I think that's over and done with now. Some people still do it, but except for Hurtado's on the chicken enchilada casserole. But instantly, I could totally undercook. Give me the overcooked, obviously, versus the undercooked that I can't eat.
Cheese.
Oh, my God.
Instantly. Jeez. It doesn't go. I just don't get it. It doesn't go.
Why do I need a dried patty versus like some creamy cheese on it?
When he says nachos.
What's the difference with putting like nacho cheese on your tortilla chips? Why do you like dipping chips in queso, but it doesn't go with
the ground beef of a burger? I don't think it goes with ground beef. That's it. I don't like the two together. Plus, it's not.
What about a cheesesteak?
Cheesesteak.
Will you get a cheesesteak without cheese?
You know, I'm not a cheesesteak guy.
Oh!
I'm not a cheesesteak guy.
Oh, they're amazing.
I think it's perfectly encapsulates Philadelphia. Like, that's their delicacy. That's what they got.
What about tacos? No cheese on the tacos?
Ooh.
You know, I'm not. I don't
not
really
taco
put cheese,
guy either.
I don't like tacos. I mean, I do like tacos.
Tacos.
I usually put just
new administration.
I usually just put tomatoes on them.
Okay. That's what ruins a burger. Tomato.
Oh no.
If tomatoes on a burger, I can't just pick that off. It leaves tomato. Like, I can pick off pickles now. I didn't used to, but if I pick off tomatoes, it leaves those seeds and that water.
Soggy lettuce. I was gonna say wet, soggy lettuce.
Soggy lettuce because it then slides the whole burger. You can't. It tastes bad. You can't even
take that off though.
Gregory says no bun ruins a burger. Getting a lot of soggy bread on the fan text.
Soggy bread.
Swaggy Booties says mustard on the Twitch. Peyton, what's your answer?
So mine's the cold bun. I can't do the cold bun. It's got to be toasted. I had a friend one time. He was grilling out. Very generous of him to cook burgers for us. He didn't toast the buns, and so I had to go and pop the toaster. I have to get a toasted bun.
What a snob.
He's the most bougie, like, poor kid.
Bougie. Like, the most bougie poor kid that I know.
Are you kidding me? That, like,
and you would say mayo, though.
I'm not a mayo guy, but you know, I could. If I'm gonna have a mayo, it's gonna be on a burger. I'm gonna have mayo,
of course.
I used to be anti mayo. I've come around on it. I didn't like mayo on a burger for a long time.
How about
like
raw onion? Can you guys do that?
I love burger, baby.
I don't like the diced up ones. I want like thick
the rings.
Yeah, rings cut there. I love raw onion. All right, Ask Greta here on 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell, who ruined their own life the fastest?
First one that came to mind. Henry Ruggs, I think. Guy had it all. First round pick, was going to be probably a star in the NFL.
Literally the fastest.
And yeah, literally. And he ruined his life. Now, I know there's, you know, rumors that maybe he can come back after he gets released from prison and be back in the NFL. I don't think it's going to happen. He can't be away that long from the game and do that. So it's Henry Ruggs for me.
Choppy.
That's a good one.
Trump, when he did the Epstein thing, lost his whole base.
instantly. Yeah. You think he lost his whole base?
I think he lost half his base.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's not going to cost them really.
It's not going to cost them. Like they
and losing it the fastest. I mean, it's a second presidency. I'm being technical to the question.
Yeah.
So like no, Henry Ruggs got drafted and then done.
Yeah, but he lost it like at that moment. It was like, what's going on here? The Coldplay CEO
guy? That was the answer for me. It was the Coldplay guy. He's sitting there having a good time. He's rich. He's just living life. And then he just drops down on a jumbotron. It's like, you're done. You're over. You never saw it coming. You're done. It's over with now.
Ooh. So rephrase it.
Who ruined their own life the fastest?
Yeah, I'll just go with Henry Ruggs.
I was going to go with a basketball player, but I don't know if we can even mention that one.
Len Bias?
I mean, oh, that's a good answer there, yeah. Sean.
I mean, if he did cocaine, he messed up his own life. You could definitely say Len Bias.
Some of the answers that we have on the fan text, Mike Vick, 575, O.J. Simpson. O.J. was like beloved even in retirement when that happened.
Yeah, but he was retired. He had his playing career.
That's true. Johnny Football 214, Aaron Hernandez. Ooh. Kanye West says the 3-2-1.
Kanye, every time he opens his mouth, man.
Well, didn't he hook you up with Yeezys?
Well, somebody hooked me up with the Yeezys. I guess it was him, right? I guess that was his.
So I sent you, I think, the Fat Kid deals or something, or the lower price on his gear. Is that legit?
Yeah. We bought them. 6 to 13 week backlog.
Tolo Chris said Paul Walker, Oscar Pistorius.
Oh, Pistorius is a good answer.
This is a good one.
6'8", Tiger Woods. 3-2-5. Carmelo Anthony, that was their answer.
Tiger's life didn't get ruined.
Yeah.
Tiger's life, I mean, he just hasn't been the same since then. Wow. He hasn't been the same, and he had all that go. 214, Mike Tyson. You want one more, or you want to wrap for Cross?
We'll save it for Cross. Okay. It's Ask Reddit every Tuesday during the commercial-free expressway. Got to save as many questions for Fred as possible in his final midday show before the return of Kevin Hagelin. Right now, we have the return of former Texas Ranger manager. He was on that Arizona bench for the Rangers' comeback of the year. Jeff Banister rejoins 105.3 The Fan next.